On this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we reconvene the BDSM crew for a look at the spicier side of life. Join Jeff, Damon, Eric, Gary, and Ben as we welcome the phenomenal Miss Tammy, Alan the Ethical Slut, and Super Hot Chess. So get permission and sit down for another sighting episode. COL 203 starts now. Sunday, March 17th, 2013. I'm Jeff.
I'm Damon.
I'm Eric.
Ow!
I'm Gary, and if you hit me, I'll hit back.
And if I say my name, I'm scared to say what I'll get.
Welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast is vintage to relink. Episode number 203. And boy, are we going to have a good show today.
Yes.
Somebody forgot to turn off his thing. There we go. All right. So yeah,
kind of like being pissed off and pissed on. You turn off their thing.
So
today we're having another one of our brand spanking panels.
The emphasis on the spanking.
There we go. But before we get to that, of course, I should actually introduce our guests here. Of course, we're going to do some of our regular segments before we get to them. But we've got Chess, Miss Tammy, and the ethical slut, Alan.
Hello.
Guten Morgen.
All right. So this week, we don't care what the fuck we did this week, because we want to just kind of get through this. I do want to say we did get some feedback about the I posted, hey, we're having our BDSM panel. What questions do you have? And then all I got was a message on Facebook from Boy Jonathan said, hee hee. I haven't even said anything yet. All I just said was we got a message from Boy Jonathan, and Ben just cracks up.
Because I'm reading the show notes at the same time, so it's...
Okay.
Go ahead.
So he says hee-hee, with my daddy on the panel, there is no telling what the answers would be.
Yeah. That's about right.
Did we learn this last time, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last couple of times.
So quickly, I want to... thank Just Doug here and Stud Out Loud on Bear Underground for joining
Stud Outlaw.
Nice.
I never say that I can speak, but
we know.
Speaking of Bear Underground, though, a brand new maybe here and there segment, Jeff's Face Palm of the Week. So there's this guy who was on here, and I thought I had a link to his poster, but for some reason it's not coming up. Oh, there it is.
Got it.
So he's like, so I can't believe I just came out of the infamous closet. And you know what he did to come out of the closet?
What?
He sent a mass text.
Classy.
Wow.
Welcome.
I mean, yeah. So I want to tell you something. So he had a previous one. He was like, I'm so stressed. I can't believe I'm going to do this. And what he couldn't believe he could do was send a mass text and post a status on Facebook.
But he probably did that. So in the event somebody did have a problem with it, no, somebody hacked my account.
Yeah.
Why would I send a mass text to do that?
That is kind of like coming out in Facebook by sending an ad to everybody to play Bejeweled with them and saying, by the way, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And I mean, me coming out to my parents wasn't much better by making a website and then having a description on there saying that I'm gay and pointing them to it. So that wasn't much better. It caused for a very quiet ride home over the weekend since I was in college. But seriously, you're stressed about sending mass text, and now he's like, oh my god, I'm I did it. I'm fine. No, you're not fine. Wait until you got the responses, okay?
I just hope he has unlimited texting on his phone.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
That's going to be pretty expensive otherwise.
Actually, no. I think this was a lame-ass way of coming out, and I agree with
approve. Jeff.
And I think that you're trying to do a cop-out, and really, especially when it comes to your parents, you really should probably do it, you know, in person. I would be okay with over the phone. No, but you should be already talking to them before you do.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. If they were there in person the first time you came out, they should be there in person the second time you come out.
Yeah. Wow. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, try explaining that
okay,
one.
Okay, I'm going to shut up now.
Anyway, so that's my face palm of the week.
Yikes.
Now, and now we need to. I'm sorry, there's a jingle for this. Ben's Bitch of the Week!
That's okay, right, kids. I'm back for this special episode only because I have some special questions of Miss Tammy later in the show. Be prepared or be scared. And by the way, real quick update, the law school will be letting me graduate on time, even though I will have to take two classes over the summer. So I will actually be graduating in May. So.
Excellent.
Thank God. Okay, so my bitch of the week, everybody by now on various social networking sites, on this show, et cetera, should know I didn't go to TBRU this year. I had no intentions of going. I was told by the Dallas Bears they didn't want me there, so fine, I didn't go. I didn't want to go. Wasn't going to waste the money. Actually, I had a better time in Galveston last weekend anyways. Actually got laid more in Galveston than I ever have at any TBRU ever. Not the point. Point is, I sit there and I notice all these woofs and grrs and everything else on Growler and Scruff and various other incendiary sites, and it just baffles me. Say, man, why aren't you at TBRU? I was looking so forward to meeting you. Well, you weren't looking forward to meeting me last year or the year before so why all of a sudden are you now wanting to meet me? You're a little...
Okay, we're back. The audio ended overloaded.
Somehow I think that we lost a lot of that.
maybe a little bit.
Clicking away with the tape recorder.
Well, we restarted, so we're back.
Awesome. So how much did we lose?
I have no idea. But let's move on.
There you go.
All right. So let's hand the reins on over to our special guests here, Chess, Miss Tammy, and Alan. And but of course, first off, I think Ben, you had some questions already prepared.
Oh yeah. But I'll wait. Okay, you know what? No, I'll go and bring them now. Because mine are actually quick. And the only reason I present these to Miss Tammy is because she is the luxurious female on our panel. And I have actually heard this a lot from both.
Luxurious?
Luxurious.
That is
like
the best you can do? That's the best you can do is luxurious?
I'll take it. It's okay.
I spank myself. Hell, how about magnificent, fabulous, beautiful?
I think luxurious is pretty damn high up on that scale. Thank you.
It makes her sound like a bathroom robe.
You can do better than that. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we just found our poll for the week. Is Miss Tammy as luxurious as a bathrobe or... No, I'm kidding. Good Lord. No, I am... Damn you, Alan. Okay, now, Miss Tammy, darling, I have to ask you these questions simply because I have actually had time to discuss these matters with other straight men, other gay men, lesbians, and various other people. And it's funny because it seems like a lot of people throw some of these activities into the whole BDSM category, even though in some ways they are, in some ways they're not. Why is it that women especially seem to really get a kick out of, especially in the last few years, anal?
Wow.
Do they?
I have apparently there are at least around here, there have been a bunch of just straight women, lesbians that are really getting into this. And I've been hearing stories about this, and I'm like, I don't get it. I understand why a man gets into it, and I understand there's pieces and parts and components that add to it, but I'm sitting there going, I remember Basic Anatomy, and I don't get it. So I'm hoping you might have some answers for us on that one.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's anything new. I think probably either giving or receiving, if you talk about lesbian women, if they're using strap-ons, believe it or not, you gay guys do not have the corner market on anal sex. Women have been doing it for a long time, my darling. And it's probably not anything new. It may be that perhaps they're just a little more willing to be open or talk about it.
Now, what would, now going back to the whole anatomy issue, I'm curious as to how a woman is going to enjoy that any more than a man, because once again, obviously, in men, you've got the prostate sitting, I mean, very comfortably right there.
Yeah.
So what is a woman getting out of it, since there's obviously, I would hope, no prostate sitting there? And most of the other components are on the opposite end of the spectrum. So I'm trying to grasp this concept.
Well, I mean, I think if you're talking about clitoral stimulation per se, for women to actually enjoy sex, there doesn't always have to be direct clitoral stimulation. And it may be that they're using other apparatus for clitoral stimulation if they're having anal as well. So just the sheer act of anal sex can be pleasurable for some women if that's what their interest is. It doesn't necessarily have to involve G-spot or vaginal intercourse or the clitoris.
Okay.
Keep in mind, Ben, there's a lot of nerve endings down there, prostate or no.
Yeah.
And I have a question that actually comes from somebody in Dallas who shall remain nameless, but he's been a temporary guest host on this show before. Hi, Aubrey. The question, this actually came up during our drive back from Galveston, and I kind of wondered about this one myself, and this once again is directed at Miss Tammy. Do women get something out of both anal and vaginal fisting quite like men do, or is it just basically along the same answer that it just kind of depends on what they're stimulated by?
Probably women that are interested in fisting. I mean, there are women that participate in both, in vaginal and anal fisting. But for the most part, if you're talking about somebody that's a receiver fisting, they're usually more likely to be involved in vaginal fisting. And that does actually involve G-spot, and it's not really something that I've done or participated in. I've given birth twice, and trust me, that's enough for me. I don't want anything else that large going in or out coming anytime soon. But for women that are involved in derive pleasure from fisting, it's usually vaginal, and it does involve the G-spot. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah. That makes plenty of sense. Okay, so, Aubrey, you have your answer now.
Nice for making that nameless there, Ben.
Yeah, I know. Well, he just sent me a text message and said, are you going to ask those questions? Yes, Aubrey, I did. Me, love you long time. Okay, I'm going to turn it.
People that are very skilled and very knowledgeable about vaginal fisting.
Because I think I would be more concerned, and once again, going back to, you know, basic anatomy again, you know, I think I would be, if I was a woman, I would be terrified to have somebody grabbing around in places that really, let's be realistic, really probably weren't meant to be grabbed around in with, you know. I'd be worried about grabbing something you're not supposed to grab. Or hitting stuff you're not supposed to hit. So, I mean,
that's not going to happen with vaginal fisting. Trust me. I probably want to hear, but
I will hear that one. But I just, you know, I mean, that would be my only. Like, you hear about, especially in the gay community, you hear about these guys going like elbow deep, and it's like, and shoulder. It's like, I'm sorry, are you a Muppet? If you're going that far up in somebody, I mean, you know, they've got to be a Jim Henson creation to be able to safely do that. But
well, maybe Alan,
not quite. But that's a good discussion for another day.
If you're going to do vaginal fisting with a female, at some point, in terms of penetration, you're going to run into the cervix, and that's going to that will preclude any further advancement of the hand.
Okay. So obviously then you're going to be somewhat limited in where you can go and what you can do.
Exactly. It's sort of a short court, so to speak.
Okay.
Alrighty, fair enough.
Those are the questions I had. So.
Well, I wasn't expecting yet questions about vaginal fisting.
You never know what
we'll I start asking.
Never know what shit comes out of Ben's mouth. I'll tell you that. Anyways, I think one of the topics that had come up one time when we were discussing what type of topics to discuss on this was aftercare. So, you know, after a session with, I mean, and this can probably end up going all over the place as to what type of aftercare that you're looking at. But it was a topic that came up, and I think that's a good place to start.
Go, Jess.
Oh, I guess my thoughts on aftercare are pretty well formulated in terms of I know why I do it. In any kind of power exchange situation, no matter what activity you're doing, flogging, fisting, electrical, whatever you're doing, the power that is given from the person who's taking the submissive role has to be given back. And that's essentially what, at least in my experience, aftercare has always been about. If you have a scene and you don't take care of the aftercare part of it, you've really only had half of a scene. If you have taken somebody's power away from them, you've left them in a vulnerable state, and you don't do aftercare, you leave them very raw and exposed. And I think that it leaves them, again, still vulnerable to emotional or psychological damage, not just from you, but from other things in their life. So I think that there's all kinds of ways that you can go through the aftercare process. Usually immediately after, holding, touching, soft words, those kinds of things are important. Also, it doesn't necessarily stop, you know, it's not a process that's over in just a few minutes or, you know, an hour of sitting and chatting. Although for some people it can be. Some people bounce back quickly. Personally, I follow up with people, you know, later the same night, a couple of days later, just to talk to them, because sometimes they're not done processing the things that have happened during your scene for them internally, and they may need to chat out a few more things. And again, you're not just giving that power back; you're also proving to them that the trust that they placed in you when they gave you that power was well placed, that their trust was a wise move because you deserve to be trusted that way.
Yeah. And everybody has their own type of aftercare that they need. I've actually known some people that they don't want to be touched. They don't want to be held. They don't want to be talked to. They literally want to just be kicked off to the corner and stay there by themselves, with you kind of hovering in the vicinity until they're ready to be welcomed back. And so everybody's different. And aftercare might be walking around and just keeping an eye on that person while they do their own recovery and emotional work to get to a point where they're ready to return.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Another thing, because a lot of what I do is impact play, especially for more intense scenes, I really like spending time like rubbing lotion into people's backs or their butts where, you know, you've smacked all the oils out of their skin and so that it doesn't get dry and painful. Also, tending to any other minor cuts or bruises is also helpful. But yeah, you definitely have to tailor the aftercare to the person. Some people are you know, very resilient. They're used to the process and they bounce back and they're good in you know, 10 minutes. You know, they're all the way back. Some people, especially folks who haven't done a lot of BDSM play, you really have to stay with them and hang with them and check with them the next day and the next day and later on in the week.
Yeah. One of the types of play that I do a lot with people is needle play. And when I play with someone, I always make sure that 24 hours later that I check on them. And I always make sure that they either have my telephone number or my email address or my VetLife name or something, so that if they have a problem or a reaction of some sort or redness or swelling or something of that nature, that they at least have the ability to follow up with me and I can check on them, because that's something that kind of takes a little bit more time to heal. And if you're going to have a problem with infection or something like that, then I like for them to be able to have a way to contact me and give me feedback, and that I can check on them too and make sure they're okay.
Now, I have a quick question, Ms. Tammy, regarding those types of situations. How do you handle a situation like that where, let's say, somebody winds up, there is an infection of some sort to the point where they have to go see a medical professional, go to an ER? How do you explain that?
Well,
to the medical professional.
I have never encountered that, but I will say that one of the things that I do with people, if I'm going to do needle play, is explain to them that this is, you know, this is not one of those safe, sane, and consensual acts. I prefer the acronym RAC, which is Risk Aware Consensual Kink. And I make it very clear to them that the skin is going to be pierced. There is a possibility of infection, although I'm going to do everything I can to reduce the risk that that could happen, but I cannot guarantee that that would not happen. If somebody ever did encounter some kind of an infection based on the piercing of the skin that they had, then certainly I'm going to encourage them to go to the doctor and facilitate that in whatever manner is appropriate. And, you know, I think it's important that people have healthcare providers that they're comfortable talking with. And that's a whole other topic too. You should be able to explain to your healthcare provider that you have some interests that involve different things, sometimes some S&M. And there are ways that you can phrase that. But generally, if somebody's going to have, if they don't feel comfortable with that, you know, they can phrase the story however they choose to, but say that their skin was pierced with a needle and it doesn't seem to be healing well and they're concerned they might have an infection. And that's really a personal choice about how much they truly want to reveal to their healthcare provider.
Okay. And I actually have a follow-up for the good counselor, because I can't practice law yet, so I'm not going to answer. But, Chess, are there any legalities whenever stuff like that does happen, that stuff that might take a wrong turn? Are there any, I mean, things that people should be aware of legally that could happen as a result of these types of things coming up?
I mean, it's possible for somebody, you know, to let's imagine someone later claiming that, no, there was no consent given. And then, you know, trying to bring some sort of assault charges or something along those lines. However, I don't really think that those are a concern that should be like forefront in your mind. Mostly because if somebody's doing like intricate work, like needle work that Miss Tammy does, you know, it's going to be hard to go to the police and say, no, I let her stick me with a needle, you know, 28 times in the back, you know, and it's in a perfect pattern, but I was resisting the whole time. That's not going to make any sense to the police. As far as, you know, something along more of the things that I do that are impact related, again, it comes down to trust. It comes down to knowing the person that you're playing with. The trust runs both ways. Not only is the person who's taking the more submissive role needing to trust you to give the power back when things are done and to not harm them, even if you are going to hurt them, you also have to trust them and trust, you know, them to not basically try to turn this into some sort of legal drama. Generally, you know, it's on you to read the person and trust the person. And that's part of the reason that I generally don't play with folks, at least not particularly intensely, whom I don't have some sort of established relationship with, friendship, or at least, you know, acquaintance of some substance.
Okay.
It brings in the trust portion of this entire thing, that you're trusting that the person you're working with will keep you safe as possible. So, being that you have that trust, you probably have a less of a risk of any sort of charges or anything.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and this is, and I've talked to another attorney I am acquainted with who's into kink. The thing that you tell the cops is, I'm into rough sex. This was rough sexual play, and that's all it was, because that puts it in the bedroom. And or, you know, even if it, you know, you don't say the word dungeon, but, you know, if you frame it in terms of rough sex, they're a lot more willing to view it in that context rather than an assaultive context.
Do you think that might also vary too, based on regional where you live at? Because obviously, you know, how somebody's going to handle it in New York City is going to be different than how somebody's going to handle it in the middle of BFE, Arizona.
Yeah. I'm guessing that the cops in San Francisco have seen a lot more than, you know, the guys in Podunk, Nebraska. You know, it is going to be regional. But again, to my there's more privacy for the bedroom, and you're going to get a little more understanding if you frame it in terms of bedroom, if you have to talk to cops, which is a pretty extreme circumstance generally.
That could be a great new tourist campaign for the San Francisco Visitor and Conventions Bureau.
Our cops have seen it all.
Wow.
Alan, you're being quiet.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm being quiet because I'm getting over a cold and I'm coughing a lot, so I'm trying to keep myself on mute.
Okay.
What I can say about aftercare, however, is in a fisting context, aftercare is important to help the bottom transition from a very intense personal space back into the real world. And this is on both a physical and a psychic or psychological level. I've lost track of the number of bottoms who have gotten out of the sling. No, I'm fine. And then they go right down on the floor. Can't stand. So certainly when playing with someone in a sling, I help them out, I make them hug me, and I hug them, keeping one hand on the sling frame, until I'm sure they can stand, which might take anywhere from a couple seconds to several minutes. I generally give it 3 full, long, deep, slow breaths before I do anything else. And I will frequently turn them around, still holding them, and sit them down in a chair for a few minutes, make sure that they are able to breathe, they are focusing, they are aware of their surroundings, and only then do I help them get up, take them into the bathroom, make sure they have what they need, and afterwards, I usually snuggle up with them for a while. I might snuggle before the bathroom as well, depending what they need, because it's a very shocking transition to go from being completely in your head and being hyper aware of what's going on in your body to suddenly looking out at the real world and, oh my God, that's a doorknob. Oh my God, that's a flight of stairs. And people get very freaked sometimes. So,
and Alan, do you find that also varies based on the experience level of the bottom?
No, it doesn't. I have experienced bottoms who still need half an hour of aftercare or more because they just need that transition back into the real world.
Wow.
And this is true not just for fisting. I mean, flogging, piercing, any kind of intense scene where you are taken out of your body or out of your head and into your body where you're not aware of the rest of the world. In S&M in general, a good S&M experience, regardless of the type of practice you're participating in, the rest of the world pretty much drops away. And it's you and the person or persons you're playing with, and that's all there is in the universe. It's very intense. And you got to be able to transition somebody out of that gently to avoid them being shocked. Because if it doesn't matter how good the experience is, if they have a crappy return to reality, it's going to spoil the whole experience.
Yeah, and see, I can kind of understand that to an extent, because I noticed that years ago. I'm not anymore, mainly because I've been in an auto accident in the last decade that's screwed my back up. But I used to years ago be into non-sexual flogging, and you know, when I first started doing it, it took, you know, and you're right, even in that situation, it still took, you know, half hour, 45 minutes or more for me to, you know, get my wits about me. And then, you know, for me, though, the more the time went on and the more experienced I became on that end of things, it didn't take quite as long. But, yeah, you're right. It still took, you know, a period of time. You know, it may not have taken 45 minutes. You know, I may have gotten it down to 15 or 20. But it's, you know, yeah, you still had to have that little bit of time. You know, just I call it just getting your wits about you again.
And I think that more often than not, I think Alan talked about, you know, cuddling with people or, you know, touching them. I think Miss Tammy described somebody, you know, there are those out there who don't want to be touched for a while afterwards. But more often than not, especially because of the kind of physical intimacy that has been involved in the power exchange activities themselves, there's something to that just touching or holding or hugging. The energies that are exchanged in that process, I think the aftercare return is often helped by physical touch. I don't find many people rejecting being touched afterwards.
Somebody's vibrating.
Actually, that's me. I'm sorry.
Wow.
She broke out the Hitachi magic wand, baby.
But Ms. Tammy, you have a slave to do that for you. Why do you need a vibrator?
Actually, that's my phone. I'm actually on call, so I'm keeping an eye on my phone, too.
Turn the webcam on. Turn the webcam on.
That's not where she's keeping her phone.
We could charge extra for that.
Oh, God. Oh,
Jeff could have two beers with dinner tomorrow night.
Oh, God.
Two beers? What?
Well,
that was actually a text message from Boy Jonathan, who is leaving IKEA right now as we speak with his trunk full of something. And he sent me a picture of
blonde, brunette, or redhead. What's in the trunk?
Well, if it came from IKEA, come on now.
All right. It had to be blonde or redhead. You're right.
Exactly. And it's probably got a faux finish on it anyways.
Nice.
And it's probably made of plastic. So there you go. And there we go again.
Actually, there are some amazing potential sex toys at IKEA, and I'm not talking about the employees or the customers.
And you know, I hate to say this, Alan is right, because I was at the IKEA on Katy Way in Dallas yesterday, a week ago, and you know what? I think great minds think alike, because me and Aubrey said the same exact thing about a number of things we saw. Boy, this could be adapted nicely. Damn sweet.
It's funny that we mentioned that, because the leather group I belong to, Scorpion Cincinnati, we're having in our April meeting, we're having a demo on unconventional bondage.
Ooh.
Meaning like using tools and really things that you wouldn't normally think about in bondage play.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Okay.
I think it's time for a road trip.
Nice.
Well, I am going to New York for a week, but
it'd be worth making a stop in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to, because I have ideas, and then at the same time I'm kind of like, I wonder what you can come up with.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've been seeing handcuffs made out of those swimming pool noodles.
Oh, those are great.
Those come in handy for
I'm
a while.
I'm trying to picture that.
Well, you just hold the hand down and have somebody on their knees, like, holding it down. Okay.
Like these really cool things. They have them at Lowe's. They look sort of like a swimming noodle, but they're rubber and they have like a piece of metal inside them, and you can wrap them around almost like a twist tie.
Yeah, it's called a Benoodle. Anthony Sullivan sells them in an infomercial.
Well, they're awesome. And they take very little effort, and you don't have to worry about a key.
Nice.
Yeah,
interesting.
Go to YouTube and Google Benoodle, and you'll see exactly. That's a great idea.
Wow.
Okay, so there's a question. What's the most interesting implement you have used in your play?
My hand.
I better not hear ice cream scoop.
You mean melon butlers?
Yeah, or those.
Wow.
Okay, not much interesting. Okay.
Well, no.
Thinking?
I think we're all thinking at this point.
Yeah.
What is the most interesting?
There's a lot of things that I think aren't very interesting anymore, but some people might think are interesting. I mean, as far as, like, bondage, I mean, I have several rolls of, like, pallet wrap, just, like, giant cling film to mummify
people. I know what you can do with those.
I will tell you right now, from somebody who used to mummify his ex-husband, that pallet wrap, God, that makes life so much easier than using fucking thousand things of saran wrap.
Yes.
And it's thick. I discovered the toy that is pallet wrap.
Oh, wow.
Isn't it funny how you don't like something necessarily, but you know how to do it really well? That's me. Nice. I can mummify motherfuckers till the cows come home. Don't get into it. Does nothing for me, but I can do it.
Nice.
Well, if you really need me to wrap you up.
And they sell the shit at Sam's now, too.
A very small, about 1 foot tall, plastic orange traffic cone.
Nice.
Oh.
Very useful for helping somebody learn to open themselves up and learn to relax, and they can use it themselves in the shower.
Interesting.
And they're
must be easy to clean too.
And they're available at your local auto parts store.
Yeah, you get the ones that have the closed top end on them, the top end, and then you can. It's very easy to clean. It's easy to get a hold of because you can hold it, because it's hollow, so you can just grab it in the inside to hold it, and it's a very easy, safe toy for opening up your butt.
Huh. Wow. Sorry.
And, oh, come much on, less, and much less embarrassing to purchase than a dildo.
Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of XTube videos involving traffic cones.
Yeah, that's so why I'm going wow, because there is a video on Bruiser right before it closed, and this guy was going to town on a large traffic cone. It was
There was a great video years ago called Flashpoint. Of a guy went pretty much all the way down on a traffic cone.
Oh,
it's an oldie but a goodie.
Wow.
I didn't know your butt could open up that far.
Alan, would you care to? Alan is our ass expert.
All I can say is not much surprises me anymore after doing this for 31 years.
Wow. I can see that. Well, no, but I understand.
If you have access to a speculum, that always helps too.
Whoa.
Those are easy.
I kind of think a speculum is cheating. If you can't do it with your hands.
It is cheating a little bit. And by the way, Eric has nominated Alan for tenure as our ass professor.
I thank you.
Ass professor, very nice.
Who will be making a road trip sometime soon?
I did spend yesterday afternoon teaching a fisting workshop for novices, so I am indeed an ass professor.
Or as we like to call it, analysis.
Analyst.
Analyst. There you go.
Nice.
All right, so moving on. Jeff, I think you had another topic with the panel you wanted to bring up.
No.
I could have sworn you did.
I think Tessa.
If I did, I don't remember.
Demystification of terminology.
Oh.
Oh, yes. There we go.
I one of the other topics that I thought about kind of bouncing around on the panel was doing what we could to kind of demystify some of the terminology related to different kinds of kinky relationships that we see that involve power exchange. A lot of folks kind of see who are on the outside of the kink world don't necessarily differentiate between things like a daddy-boy relationship versus a sir-boy relationship versus a master-slave relationship. And then there's, you know, a number of, you know, other relationships that have different dynamics, like a trainer and a pup. You know, all of those relationships, I don't think for people who are not particularly involved with the BDSM community or the leather community, I don't think that they necessarily get any farther than, oh, this is the dominant person, this is the submissive person. And so when they hear those terms bandied about, they don't really see the differences.
So they just stick to the generic, the super generic definitions.
Well, there's that, and at least to my understanding, there's a certain kind of understanding of what those relationships traditionally entail, what those dynamics really mean. Generally, I think it's understood that a daddy boy relationship is a mentoring relationship. That's the focus of that relationship, is teaching. It's one where, for example, Boy Jonathan and I have a daddy boy relationship. I'm his mentor, I'm his teacher, sometime play partner. And it's one that involves respect, mutual respect, that we play out in different ways. This is different from a sir-boy relationship, which is one that generally involves a larger commitment. It's not just mentorship. It's also protection and guardianship. And there's a commitment that's usually signified either by a collar or some other kind of item of significance, which even then, you know, might be maybe a permanent collar or just a, what's called a consideration collar. And then those two are, of course, separate and apart from a master-slave relationship, which is one rather than mentorship or guardianship, it's much more of ownership. It's someone who has, you know, given up their right to make decisions to whatever degree is determined by the participants. And I think Miss Tammy, you know, has a lot more experience with that. But I sometimes feel like I see people kind of using things interchangeably, and not through any fault of their own. They're just not familiar. But there is a difference between someone who is a daddy to someone, or someone who is a sir to someone, or someone who's a master. There's a lot of traditional assumptions that go along with those types of dynamics that are lost on the uninitiated. Tammy or Alan?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about, briefly, I identify as master. My husband and I have been together for 10 years. We've been married for 9. And in our relationship, I always make the final decisions. I'm willing to listen to his input, and I may ask for his input about decisions that I'm going to make that involve everything and anything in my life and his life. But I'm still going to be the one that's going to make the final decision. I also feel there's a greater responsibility for me as a master because I have chosen to take that role in our relationship and previous relationships. And I assume responsibility in many ways for their well-being. And that means everything that they need, maybe not everything that they want, but everything that they need to feel whole and to be happy and healthy. And that works very well for John and I. And It's a very healthy relationship for us personally, but it is much different from some of the other types of relationships that Chess described. John had the opportunity to negotiate and say yes or no prior to the time that I placed the collar around his neck and locked it on. At that point, when he made that decision to be my slave, he essentially gave up that control. Now, that does not mean that I'm such a stupid master that I would place myself above receiving information from him that he could have that would be important. He may know something that I do not know. I may say, come on, we're going to the store. He may try to interject to let me know that the tire is low. And if I say, shut up and get in the car, we're going, well, he's going to shut up and get in the car and go, but I'm not going to make it really far if I have a flat tire. So I need to be accountable and wise enough myself to listen to his input and make decisions with all the information that's necessary for both of us. And I think that's important. If anybody just says, I don't want a slave that never talks or contributes, then they're probably not a good master. I certainly don't want them to approach me and say, look, you should do it this way, because guess what? Then we're probably not going to do it that way. But if he says, can I please offer some information that you may not have, ma'am, then I'm more than willing to listen to that.
I think the biggest thing that Tammy kind of pointed out to is that kind of what we're looking at is not just degrees of control, but also degrees of responsibility. That's kind of one of the defining differences between the daddy relationship and the sir relationship with a yeah. boy is what level of responsibility you're taking. When I say guardianship, I really do mean that it's a much more caretaking relationship. Rather than the focus being on mentorship and development of potential, it becomes one of guardianship and caretaking. And that's denoted by the greater amount of responsibility taken, again, signified by, you know, a collar or some level of solemnization that doesn't exist in a daddy-boy relationship. I think the other thing that is important to note, and a lot of people may not immediately wrap their heads around, is that all of this sort of power exchange relationship is separate and apart from the play that occurs during a scene. This is not you know, just the power exchange that is happening in a scene that involves flogging or needle play or electricity or fisting. This is a relational power exchange, and I think a lot of people don't necessarily. It's different than role playing a scene where somebody's a slave and a master. It's different than role playing a scene where somebody it's a daddy and a boy kind of situation. It's a power exchange that is parallel to and resonates with this maybe a sexual relationship, but it's fully divorced from and separate and apart from scene play and the scene power exchange.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I have a question, and pardon me if this gets a little personal, but let me start off with an explanation here. My father is a submissive straight male, and we grew up kind of always knowing this, and my mom was not interested in the scene, as you would put it. And it became quite interesting. They got divorced in large part because of that, because they just weren't compatible on that level. And my father was single for a couple of years, and we didn't know much about his relationships until he popped in and announced to everybody that he'd gotten married to a woman that none of us had met. And it turns out she is his master, and he's basically disappeared out of all everybody's lives for the last 15 years now, in large part because we only hear from him when, oh, I've just found out I have this STD and I need to get blood transfusions, or... So, you know, he's had a lot of health concerns that have come out of it because they're not in a healthy relationship when it comes to maintaining each other's needs. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering how you handle extended family relationships and the rest. Is this something that the family knows and accepts? Is this something you guys work out in other ways?
I can speak to you about my perspective from my family. I grew up in a very kind of femdom environment. My father worked outside the home, was the breadwinner. My mother was a homemaker, but she pretty much made the decisions about how the home was going to run, how the money was spent, what my father was going to wear, what we were going to do, and basically how our life ran. Now, whether or not that was always healthy remains to be seen. And that's kind of always been the kind of family that I've grown up in. Now, my own family of origin, I have two older sisters. They are also in relationships that I would say probably their spouses are submissive, and they make a large majority of the decisions within their family. The relationship that John and I have is much more formalized. And I don't know necessarily that my family of origin, my mother, my sisters, have a name for what John and I are, but they certainly understand the dynamic. And my children, I have a son that's 20. I have a daughter that is 15. They are also aware of our power dynamic, and they are aware that I identify myself as master of my home, and that that John calls himself slave, and that is a mutual choice, and that's the relationship that's healthy and works for us. Now, any more details that are more intimate than that about the nature of our relationship are frankly not up for discussion. If I'm asked a question, I will answer it to the best of my ability for what I think is appropriate for them to know at the age level that they're at. But some things I think are private, some things are up for discussion, if that makes sense. And let me just address for a moment, you say your father. I can tell you that I think part of one of the responsibilities for a master is to encourage a slave to maintain relationships and contacts with people that are supportive of them, their biological family. I think that behooves them. If you want to take somebody away and isolate them, then I think that kind of speaks to the type of master that you are. I realize that sometimes people become estranged from their family, but if you literally have a master that's pulling you away and isolating you from contacts and friendships and family, then that is probably not a healthy relationship.
It screams abuse, no matter whether it's in a formalized power relationship or otherwise. When you see one partner of a couple isolating their other person, that it screams abuse because it removes accountability for their behavior toward that person.
Yeah.
I appreciate you putting it that way because it's very clear to me that it's abusive, and I feel kind of lucky. I'm the oldest and I'm the gay son, so I recognize a lot of this behavior from relationships my friends have had. But it's also fallen on to me because my father's very private and doesn't talk about what's going on in his head. To ask the questions, to have him tell me, yes, it's a submissive thing, and then to have to explain that to my brothers, which has been a pain in the neck. Because, of course, all they have are the abandonment issues. So it's something I've just wanted to ask people before, and I never really get the chance. So thank you.
Sounds like you and your family are psychologists' wet dream come true.
Oh.
Oh, you don't know.
We could all tell stories about our family.
God, you ain't kidding. That's what we need to do for a future panel. We need to have some psychologists and psychiatrists come on, analyze us.
No. No.
Didn't take Damon long to say no.
No.
Well, actually, my background is psychiatry.
Oh. Well, there we go.
I am I'm actually a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So I try to be very cognizant of, and one of the ways that I actually try to give back to the community is I have a class that I teach to various groups at events and things. And it really, the name of it's called Batshit Crazy or Just Unique. It really is about mental health issues and personality disorders and kind of some red flags and things to look out for in relationships and in your partner, and how to address that and how to seek out mental health, professional help if that's necessary, and how to kind of reconcile sometimes the desires that you have in terms of wanting to be in control of things or wanting to turn over control to someone else. So, in fact, I'm going to do that class this afternoon for some of the Louisville community. So I like to give back that way.
Huh. Have you felt your training has helped with how you manage your relationship?
You know, I think the entirety of my life experiences has helped with how I manage my relationships. I can't say that I always do everything perfectly, but I can say that I strive to listen to other people, to be accountable for my own behavior, and to expect that of other people as well. And I do try to be aware of other people's faults and what I can and cannot control in their lives. And I'm actually dealing with some issues in my own life personally that Chess has been very supportive of, and I love you very much, sweetheart, about reconciling some of those things for myself and what I will and will not tolerate in my life. So, yeah, I think that having that educational background and the life experiences that we've all had and the way that you mature as you get older impacts how you manage healthy relationships and friendships in your life.
Excellent. And I think that was a great panel. I think we're done with this. So we'll probably end up doing this again some other time when we can make up a good relationship. And for all you folks who are listening, please give us a call at 361-265-8255, 361-CLWellTalk. Leave us a voicemail for our panel or for us. Shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com with any of your questions, or watch for any of our posts on Google Plus or Facebook or Bear Underground. Will we be looking for your questions? Ask the panel anything, and hopefully not many.
And but be careful we'll be... what you ask, because we will answer.
Careful what you ask, for. You might actually get the answer.
Yeah, don't ask for anything you don't really want to hear the answer to.
Yeah.
We know Alan, anything will come out of his mouth.
And can we please avoid the vagina questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have
they
one.
Questions gay men want to know. We don't know. Maybe it's vagina envy or something.
For you. I think this episode should be titled Ben's Vagina Monologues.
We have a title, folks.
Now do y'all know why I only now currently show up every so often?
Yeah, because you got a lot of schoolwork. Anyways.
That too. Oh, by the way, though, I've got and if any of our current panel would like to join us on the 21st of April, we're going to be doing the Craigslist personal ad writing workshop. We're going to teach you how to write the correct Craigslist personal ad.
Wow. Or how to write a current Craigslist ad.
Yeah. So if anybody would like
to join us. It's a full analysis.
Yeah, because that God only knows those people need help.
No, but that's for later. Moving on. Last week we were talking about user IDs, and we were asking the question, "What's your user ID? What does it mean?" We only got three responses, from Bear Underground.
Yay, Bear!
And
Underground.
A couple of them actually did some of the things we said we really shouldn't do. So we got. We got Beefy Buzz. He said, "I'm lifting weights and getting beefy. I buzz my hair short, military style. I also like getting buzzed on coffee, sodas, beer, and cocktails. So Beefy Buzz." Hey, that works.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Approved. We have
the next one. And he is fine. He is one fine man.
Coda Bear?
Buzz?
Yes, he is fucking gorgeous.
Well, he's beefy.
Yes, he is.
Got a buzz haircut. I mean, this is two things.
I'm talking about Coda Bear.
Oh, you're talking about Coda Bear. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is delish.
Dakota Bear. So I said, mine too. I'm Dakota, and I'm Dakota and a bear. I think he means he lives in the Dakotas or something like that. Oh, no, he's a good Dakota Indian.
His name, yeah.
Okay, so he's Native or Dakota Native American, excuse me. And a bear. Everyone has always called me Dakota Bear. So, yeah, that works. Then we have Bubba Bear SC. He, mine's easy. I'm a Bubba. I'm a bear. And I live in South Carolina. Well, see, that's the problem. The South Carolina part. We understand that. Are you South Carolina? Because if you're South Carolina, then I can understand that. But as
like
you said,
I'd like to apologize now. If Jeff has insulted anybody from either of the Carolinas, we apologize.
No, I have no problem with people being from Carolinas. You know, it's just the one of the things we determined was location is probably not a good thing to have in your name, because what would happen if you move? So what if Bubba Bear SC moves over to Arizona?
Okay, so he's Bubba Bear AZ.
Bubba Bear AZ. But then he has to change his name. And then people get confused because it's like, no, I'm looking for Bubba Bear SC, not AZ. And then
it's also a great way to get the creepers off you.
Still, you don't want to change a name once you already established it for yourself and you have a persona and you have a reputation, hopefully a good one. See, I used to be, many years ago, I was SF Handballer, which was great when I lived in San Francisco, but that was a long time ago. And then I moved down to Silicon Valley, and I decided, oh, I'll be something a little more generic. I became SVHB, Silicon Valley Handballer. And even that was too location specific. Now I'm just Ethical Slut, which could be anywhere.
Yeah. See, I kind of break the rule too, because I'm the one that goes by Tatdude 806. Well, yeah, obviously I'm representing the 806 or something. So, what about when I move back to Dallas?
Or you created your name at one of those times where everybody was just putting some sort of random number at the end, or the system was generating some sort of random number at the end.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And now you can never look at laser removal.
Ass.
Just doesn't want to remove his tattoos anyway, so then that's permanent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just far less creative. I'm just Miss Tammy.
Yeah.
I think that ends up being a perfect user ID.
Until somebody comes along and does MYZ period Tammy.
And that's okay. They could do that if they want to.
That sounds like a drag. If it was with MYZ, you would think it was a drag queen.
Well, a lot of people think I'm a drag queen.
Ms. Tammy, you are far too attractive to be a drag queen.
I agree. I agree. A long time ago, I used to be Whitman's child because my undergrad degree is in poetry, actually. And I'm a big Walt Whitman fan. And then when I moved to Japan, it became Wakayama Kuma because I lived in Wakayama Ken. And again, so that I violated the location rule. So when I came back, I recreated myself just as Fox Bear. And that's a lot better. It's not stuck on location. And it's basically just my two major totem animals. So.
Oh. And you're a foxy bear. So. So it works for me. I'm good. I'm good with that. See? Finally settled on a name that you don't have to change. There we go.
Yep. I'm good with it.
So that was last week's poll. By the way.
What is our poll this week?
We don't have one.
No, well, no. I think actually, hold on. I've got a great one. What describes Miss Tammy more appropriately? Luxurious? Or some of the various ones out and throughout there? How would you describe that? See, that's a great poll.
I think you just need to get a hotel room with Miss Tammy, is what I think.
I know. I'm starting to think that, too. She might help me change religions. Hey, I do have a free hotel night coming up in a few weeks.
Alternative one. Fill in the blank. Fistful of dollars, quarters, or handballs.
Are we playing the next game? Yeah, that's game 13.
So, okay. I think I like the one that was just typed in. Fistful of blank. Dollars, quarters, or handballs. Of course, there will be other.
And yeah, we forgot safety cones.
Oh, safety cones.
A fistful of Crisco.
Traffic cones. Traffic cones.
A fistful of Crisco. Yeah, that's
Crisco? Good. Fistful of Crisco. Yeah.
And guys, I recommend you use the orange fluorescent cones and not safety flares. Please don't get the two confused.
You'll only do it once.
Yeah. We guarantee you'll never do it again.
Wow.
So I think we're going to
that'd be one hell of a fireworks show.
We're going to play a little match game for this week's poll. Okay.
So I guess that describes our picture that we'll put with the poll. We'll have to find a picture of Gene Rayburn in a plaid suit.
Oh, hey. Good
that point. Shouldn't be too hard.
You know what? I think it's time for this.
Oh, yes, it is. And you know what that music means, kids? It's time for Love on Craigslist, bringing the best of love and lust to you. And Damon kicks it off this week with Birthdays Gone Bad.
Oh, okay. So this is basically the reason I chose this one is based on the panel. And this is why I call it, this is what not to do in any situation. It's called Birthday Force Fantasy, male for male, 46 in Cincinnati. I'm kind of sad for that. It's my birthday and I have a force great role play fantasy. I knock on the door and tell you I am here, answering the ad to fuck your wife. You let me in and show me whatever room you want to do this in and tell me I can get ready. She will be right in and you leave. You then come back and take it, telling me there is no wife, but since I just wanted sex, you can help me with that as you put your cock up to my mouth, pulling my head into it. As I pull away, you pull me in again and force your cock in my mouth. From there, it is up to you, and that's where I'm going with this. Do whatever you want, however you want. No rules, no limits. Treat me like a bitch. Continue to make me suck your cock. Lift my legs or roll me over and fuck me. Spank me as much and hard as you want. Piss on me. Do whatever you want. Have a friend? Have him come in and surprise me by just using whatever part of me you are not using while you are pleasing yourself. Have it some other fantasy role of domination and control? I am willing and open. Let me know what it is and when you want to fulfill it. As long as I get to suck a good cock, get fucked, or come on or in, I am willing. I am white, 46, 185 pounds, and 6 foot with a 7-inch cock that comes a lot, in 420 and poppers friendly, and hope to do this today. I cannot host, put fantasy in subject line along with stats. A pic of the cock that will be abusing me will move things along greatly.
Why do I have a feeling he spent his birthday night at home alone?
That is something you think you would put a little more planning into than an ad the day of.
Yeah. I the reason I chose it is because it screamed like inappropriate, and you know, someone could get really badly hurt in this. So yeah. This is not like my normal crappy. This is a warning. Don't do this. Please.
Okay then.
And
done. Okay. Well, what's my normal crappy bit? I'm doing my tour of the United States, and we left Delaware last week, so I'm in Florida this week. Mine is titled Old Lady is Looking for Fitness Instructor. God. This is, by the way, in the Women for Men. It's not a strictly platonic or anything like that. 60 years old. And I swear, I read this in the voice of Sophia Petrillo. Old lady is looking for fitness instructor. Reliable and very strong. No payment, please. I have no money. With resume is preferred. That's it.
She's awfully wow. demanding for a bitch that ain't got no money. Okay, wow. Mine's a good one this week, and I'm sending the link to everybody so they can look at it too, because the picture kind of just says it all. Horse Pony Boy, and this is out of Lubbock, so I was kind of scared when I saw this one. Oh. So there are some guys into pup play. I'm into horse pony play. Okay. Looking for a guy with other horses and a horse barn where I can be kept in a stall from time to time with hay and horse poop. Rode like a horse, treated like a horse, and lived like a horse. I also don't mind a little horse show for you and some friends. Serious replies, guys. I know most of you will not understand or be remotely interested in my sexual fantasies, but for those of you who do understand, you won't be let down. I'm fit, attractive, and very real. Can send pics and email. Can anyone help me out?
I'm just looking at the picture and going, what 1970 porn did we get this one from?
Now, Ben, 29, in Lubbock, into brony play. Ben, why are you throw that?
I point out I am 36 and I am into cartoon ponies, not the
actually, the proper term is dressage. He's into dressage sex.
Oh. And he knows this. That's the scary part. Okay, hold on. Miss Tammy, did you know what that was?
Yes, I did, actually.
Did you know the term, though?
No, I wasn't familiar with the term.
What about you, Chess? Did you know the term?
Hey. I believe I've heard it before, but okay. I can't recall.
So
I'm familiar with dressage in actual equine circles, but I hadn't heard it applied to pony play or horse play.
Okay, so I guess that's why Alan's the professor of ass. Sorry.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
There's more people than you think who are into pony and horse type situations.
I know plenty of guys into the pup play, but I would never have really imagined this one.
We had a joint pony and puppy play space set up at Great Lakes Leather Alliance last year, and there were quite a few ponies out there.
Oh, and there's one farting. That's what it sounded like.
I think that was Miss Tammy busting out laughing.
Oh. It was my window in my bedroom.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my goodness.
There you go. Are we ready to move on? Oh no,
our links.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, well, I'm sitting here ready to look at Alan's because it's almost interesting. It is interesting. Okay, this week, America's Best Christian, Mrs. Betty Bowers, is back. And you know, if Devin Green shows up, it's going to be good. This week, she participates in the America's Best Christian pageant. And, of course, you know who won? She did. Just remember, the one of the best talents ever is tap dancing around Scripture. But if any of you know who Mrs. Betty Bowers is, she is comedian Devin Green, who is a very staunch atheist and loves to turn the Bible back around on good Christians everywhere. So, therefore, she must be loved. Mm-hmm. And Eric, by the way, I love Eric's. Okay. I love Eric's. It's so much fun. And strangely enough, my link fits in with Damon's. My pick fits with
Damon's. That's kind of scary. Scary, scary indeed. Mm. Mine is like one of my random BuzzFeed finds. It's 11 things everyone thinks are in the Bible, but aren't. Just random things that, you know, sayings that people have said or phrases that people know of that are not really from the Bible or in the Bible or mentioned in the Bible. The only one that really I knew a lot of them, but the big one for me was the to thine own self be true, because I knew that. That's never been in the Bible. That's Shakespeare. I don't know where anyone would think that came from the Bible, but you know.
The Shakespearean Bible?
Yeah, maybe. But there, I like some of the ones. The money is the root of all evil. You know, yes, it's kind of in there, but not really. It's more simple and soft. So yeah.
I don't know if it's any simpler or softer. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. That's
yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And to thine own self be true was Polonius, one of Shakespeare's plays. The character was Polonius.
Yeah.
That was from, was it? No, was that? Oh, yeah, it was from Hamlet.
Yeah.
Right. I love that they credited God's works in mysterious ways to Bono. I'm pretty sure that's a little bit older than that.
Yes. Yeah, this is my... So that's my wonderful pick of the week. Take it as your leisure and to thine own self be true.
Nice.
Gary.
To continue on the sacrilegious sanct that we have gone. This was a video I watched this past week, and I could not stop laughing from about probably 20 seconds in. And I don't know if this gentleman is going to get sued by the Disney entity, but
count,
if anyone
count
has not,
on it,
yeah, it's he did an absolutely incredible parody of four characters from Disney cartoon movies, singing the whole like well-known theme songs, but changing all the words and basically telling what his perception of the quote ever after like story happens to these. So if you're familiar with Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, that musical show is about what happens after the story ends. And he did a spin of that with this. And it's to me, it's hysterical and amazing.
I thought
it's called After.
I thought Into the Woods was all about wolf penis.
Chess, you can take away from it what you want.
And my pick this week is a video game review. God knows, not the video game, which is Surgeon Simulator 2013. But watching these two Australian guys on the Achievement Hunter Rage Quit show going through this is hilarious. Apparently, the whole game, you do organ transplants, but you play the fingers on the hand and have to move the hand around the rest. And these two look like some drunk stone motherfuckers trying to... They're pulling out ribs. They're dropping glasses into the lungs. It's just, I couldn't stop. I'm only halfway through it, and I just can't. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And if you need the super condensed version, go to Super Bo Bros on YouTube, and you can also see Dainbo, the guy did Annoying Orange, play this game. This game is fucking hilarious. But it's one of those games, it's more fun watching somebody else play it.
Yeah.
Playing it yourself kind of sucks.
Yeah. Watch it the first time the heart they're supposed to transplant go flying out of its container into the wall because they've drunk dashed into it. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, goodness.
And y'all think what I do is kinky? Please.
Wow.
This has been a weird episode, guys.
Yeah. But that's what makes this episode so freaking awesome. As I said, we're having had a great episode today. I do have to say something.
And by the way, today is St. Patty's Day, so please, for all the love of God and St. Patrick, go get drunk off your ass.
And I'm wearing my limited edition Bear Underground green t-shirt.
I thought you were going to say handball leprechaun.
I'm still waiting on mine, Ian. Why isn't it shipped yet?
I'm from Chicago, where they dye the river green every St. Patrick's Day. I'm tired of St. Patrick's Day. That's why I don't live in Chicago anymore.
I thought that was from the rotting dead bodies that were floating up.
Nope. They actually dump a bunch of vegetable dye into the river on St. Patrick's Day to make it bright green.
I'm sure the fish love that.
At this point, it doesn't harm the fish. It used to be an oil-based dye, which was very toxic, but they've changed it over the years.
Oh, much yummy. Safer.
And we lost Jess.
A lot of drunk people dressed in green last night in downtown Cincinnati.
Yes, there were.
Very obnoxious.
Yeah. It was scary. It always is. And it's one of the things I was worried about the event, because it was like, I have this feeling there's going to be so many issues. But you're putting all these fetish people, and then you've got these drunk people, and you've got a casino like two blocks away. I could see the disaster in my head, and I'm kind of happy nothing major happened. Nothing bad happened.
It was a great night.
It was. It really was. Oh, so much fun. So much alcohol.
Wow.
Yes, the gummy bears and the pudding shots. Yeah.
I miss so little by not drinking.
Well, and I also point out, too, in Jeff's neck of the world, they are going through the tail end of South by Southwest, so it's like St. Paddy's Day every night.
Well, we're right smack dab in the middle of it because the film portion completed this weekend is the music portion, and interactive is like almost through the entire time. So we're almost done with it. I think it ends on Wednesday.
God. Thank God, right?
Well, I everywhere I go is around that area. So
yeah, unfortunately, I lived in Austin in the mid-90s when South by Southwest was not much and it was okay, but I can't even imagine going down there now. Ugh.
Well, I never go downtown anyways, so where most of the stuff is, and didn't go out to the Alamo because, well, the Alamo is like head on into doing the film festival, so it's the theaters are taken up from all the screenings that they're doing, and so I'm like, I'll go see Oz the Great and Powerful in a week or two.
After all the vomit's been cleaned and sterilized?
Something like that. Well, this is also the Alamo Draft House, so the floor is always sticky.
And it's not even a porn theater.
Yeah, but I mean, for some reason, it just still has its charm, even though the floor is a little sticky. But I mean, isn't any theater really the, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Anyways. So that's the show. Thank you for joining us.
I know everybody's glad because they get to be rid of me for about three more weeks.
Alan, Miss Tammy, and We Couldn't Get Him Back Chess, thank you for joining us today. And I'm sure we'll be having you back very soon.
Yeah.
Always happy to be had.
Don't forget Alan Road Trip.
Unconventional bondage.
Unconventional road trip.
And that's,
let's see, Austin, Cincinnati, Lubbock. Yeah, could be an interesting interesting exercise.
Mm-hmm. Nice tour of America.
I foresee using DVD clamshells as nipple clamps.
Ethical slut across America. I like it.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, it's a YouTube series coming soon.
No, it's me and my Prius.
Well, there's plenty of ways to contact us. Just go to our website, comesoutloud.com. Leave a comment on the blog. Shoot us an email at comesoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice at 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK. See, pretty easy to remember, really. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/cubsoutloud, Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud, Google Plus at gplus.2/cubsoutloud. Also, please pop over to Bear Underground and join us in our Bear Underground group. By the way, we just got a request from ND Bear 99, who will be joining us in that group as of today. And you can find me anywhere as Box Cub, Box Tech, Box Puppy, something.
If it involves a box
or a puppy
or Jeff's in it, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. Then.
And of course, you can find me everywhere on the God known forsaken interwebs as Tech Cub 806.
Theater Cub 79 on Bear 411.
Oh, is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. Bear Underground, and now on Tumblr.
I'm Eric, and you can find me as GamerBear75 on Bear Underground, GamerBear on Bigger City, Eric Patton on G+, and you could probably find an old profile I haven't seen in 3 years on Bear 401 under Lancaster Bear.
So if you need to be terrified.
Yeah. Don't message me. I won't get it.
You're not actually going to go there.
And I'm Gary. I can be found as GareBear73 pretty much anywhere on the web that I want to be found.
Anywhere, yeah, you want to be found.
And if he doesn't want to be found, he has some sort of other idea.
And if I recommend anything to you today, go to christianmingle.com and look up GareBear73. You might be surprised what you find.
Wow.
Any other shout-outs?
Actually, hold on. Alan, how can they find you?
I am Ethical Slut on Bear Underground, Ethical Slut on Bear 411, SVHB on Aspig and Recon, and there is my True Stories sex blog at ethicalslut.livejournal.com.
Oh, LiveJournal's still around?
Yeah, no kidding.
Or if you would prefer not to go with all the Russian Mafia ads, there's ethicalslut.dreamwidth.org, which is the mirror.
Okay, much better.
Oh, nice.
And Miss Tammy, how can we find you?
You can find me at What Is This Bitch Doing Here at Ass Pick? No, I'm just kidding. You can find me as Miss Tammy, MSTAMMY, on FetLife. That's pretty much where I would spend most of my time.
Yay.
All right. Any shout outs? Any announcements or anything? No? I think we got everything going.
Yeah. I'd like to send a shout out.
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to say thank you very much to all the wonderful Leathermen and Bears that are my very good friends, and I appreciate all the love and support that you've given me over the years.
Aww. Thank you. I'm not one of them, but I like you, so thank you. It's our first time talking, you know.
You're one of them. Yes, you are.
All right. You're very welcome, Miss Tammy.
Thanks.
And with that, say good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Ken, too.